After the solar eclipse, we have, of course, the lunar eclipse. Eclipses always come a couple of weeks apart. There's always two. Sometimes there's three. In fact, as we get into the more the middle of the year, we will have a triple eclipse happening. So this lunar eclipse is the moon in Cancer opposing an amazing setup. Look at this. We've got five planets in Capricorn within 3 degrees of each other. This is amazing. Sun, Mercury, Ceres, Saturn, and Pluto all clustered up together in a big group hug. So let's start with the moon. A lunar eclipse, of course, is a full moon on steroids. And a full moon is best for release or adjustment. Okay? So it's in Cancer. So there's four major themes of the sign Cancer. So release or adjust in emotions, family, home, and shadow work. Also, security is a theme there. Okay? And what's opposing the moon? Oh my gosh, Saturn and Pluto are like the stars of the show over there. Chances are there's going to be some pretty big shadow work flushed up from this. I mean, Saturn and Pluto bring challenge. Pluto is the lord of the underworld. He brings up all that old pain from the unconscious when it's time to work with it. And both of these eclipses, in fact, one of the things they can do is bring up shadow work. So be prepared. I can promise you, let me put it this way. I'll sneak ahead to one thing. We've already been in the Saturn-Pluto conjunction field for about 2 years. It's already started, okay? I know a bunch of people who are very conscious, very awakened people, some of the most bright lights I know. All of them are processing shadow work to beat the band. Now, let me just ask, is there anyone here, raise your hand if you're not having stuff come up lately. I don't see any hands. Okay, it's happening. And here's my understanding, okay? Here's the sequence I observe. Again, I've worked with over 8,000 people. I talk to a lot of people about their process, okay? So first, the shadow work is your personal stuff, okay? If you clear enough of that, then you'll start clearing from your family lineage, okay, forward and backward in time. If you get enough of that done, then you get to clear for absolute strangers. Isn't that great? So that means that, I mean, I've had many experiences where I had energy show up and it was nothing I'd ever felt. It was so alien to me, I didn't even know where it was coming from. It's okay, someone needs help, and I would just process it and flush it through. And just like, how many people are willing to admit that they're doing that right now too? I've got several hands up. Okay, so a lot of people, the more conscious you become, the more they, you know, we're in the thick of the game now. We're in the big spiritual awakening field. And so those who are capable are being asked to process heavy energy for other people. So this is a very, Saturn-Pluto is a heavy energy time. That's one of the themes. It's not the only thing happening, but it's a major theme. So just know that we're all going to be processing stuff. So I'm just going to say the two key things I would say is A, be as spiritually awake as you can. Because if you are holding awakened consciousness 24/7, then you will not suffer when that stuff comes up. If you are not, you will suffer. Okay, and the embodied awakening is a phase where you just are awake enough that you're aware consciously that you're not just the human. You are consciously merged with your higher self, which is always peaceful. And so, no matter what happens to your personality, you're always aware of that part that's still peaceful. That's a very simplistic definition, but awakening is notoriously difficult to define. All right. But if you're able to hold that core peacefulness, that witness consciousness, then whatever shows up, you'll be able to greet it more calmly, more impersonally than if you thought it was your stuff and got rolled around by it. So hold the strongest awakening you can, and then when stuff shows up, have a good tool to process. There's lots of good shadow work tools, okay? So just have one ready, because I can promise you it's going to get very intense in the coming years. Because, I'll go on, so my understanding, we're clearing now thousands of years of patriarchy, dominator culture. That's all going by the wayside, and all of it has to be processed through. It doesn't just go away. The humans created it. The humans have to clean it up. So everyone who's awakening and conscious is on the team, on the cleanup team. So that's my understanding. I'll get to a phrase in the thing that has to do with that. It's saying the work we're here to do may not be the work we want to do, but it's the work that has to be done. Okay? All right, so didn't mean to get so heavy so fast, but I'm in the flow. All right. So shadow work, Pluto and Saturn. Ceres is an asteroid goddess, and she's also known as Demeter. In fact, she had a difficult time with Pluto in the myth. Her daughter Persephone got dragged down to the underworld by Pluto, and Ceres wept inconsolably for months on end. and I won't tell the whole myth, but basically Ceres can represent deep, intense sorrow and shadow work. She can also represent abundance and harvest and prosperity because she's the grain goddess. Okay, so that's the other thing I wanted to mention about the lunar eclipse. What release or adjustment can you make to become more prosperous? Oh my gosh, we got Pluto, wealth, and we got Ceres, you know, harvest, and we've got, you know, the moon following your heart's delight for what you're going to go for. So this eclipse is also, what can I release to make room for more abundance? And abundance doesn't have to be just money. Abundance is whatever you want it to be. What is your wealth? It could be money. It could be, my wealth is having free time to be out in nature. My wealth is, you know, time to do my hobby or play with my kids or whatever it may be. So decide on your wealth, and then this can deliver it for you.
What planet is opposite Juno, please?
I'm getting to that. In fact, you just anticipated me. All right, now, beyond the Capricorn planets and beyond the moon, there are, this is called a grand cross. It's a big geometrical red square, and it's called a grand cross or a grand square in astrology. And this is the most intense, challenging aspect pattern there is in astrology. On one end, we have Juno. This is the cross with a bad hair day down here. It's the asteroid goddess of committed partnership. And it could be a romantic partnership, or it could be any kind of partnership you have where there's a commitment. It could be a business partner. It could be a good friend you have a good container with. Anyone you're in a ongoing relationship with where you're choosing not to end it, that's a committed partnership, okay, of a significant nature. And then, so when we bring Juno in, it says, okay, maybe that committed partner will be the one stirring up your shadow work. Maybe they'll be the one helping you heal it. Maybe they'll be doing both. You never know. The other end is Eris, E-R-I-S, okay? This is the first time I've used her, but she is so central in these patterns, I could not avoid her, okay? Eris is the, I've got her over here on my other screen here. She's the Greek goddess of strife and discord, the sister of bloodthirsty Ares, associated with violent, raging anger. Her most famous role in the myths was there was a great wedding and she wasn't invited. She crashed it, tossed out an apple marked to the fairest one, right? And all the goddesses fought over it, and this escalated and became the Trojan War. Okay, so so Eris, but Eris has a good quality too. She's very rebellious, and sometimes that's exactly what we need. So Eris in the pattern can work one of two ways. One is she can be that other person who's trying to provoke you, who's throwing that apple out and says, okay, are you going to bite? Are you going to get upset because of what I just did? Are you going to? You know? So they're trying to goad you into having a negative reaction. In fact, if you saw that Marvel movie, Captain America Civil War, perfect Eris character, the guy who wasn't fighting anyone, he would just plant these little malicious seeds of information, which happened to be true, you know, like Tony Stark's parents getting killed, and he's discovered, oh my God, it's Captain America's buddy who did that. Oh, I'm going to kill you, you know. So the Eris strategy is to just plant the malicious seed of information and let it grow in the weak spot of the hero, and then the hero does their own damage to themselves. Does that make sense? Okay, so watch out for Eris characters. They're going to be prominent. So, you know, remember, your emotions are your fault. Nobody can make you feel anything. They can catalyze all they want, but you can just react blindly and go into the negative, or you can say, okay, I choose to respond. And again, my pitch for awakening, if you're awake, you'll see the game, and you can then make the choice not to just fall into that negative pattern again. So, and if you want to be Eris, you know, maybe, let's say the wedding was of this, you know, people who are doing these horrible, terrible things, and they needed an apple thrown out to kind of stir them up and break up this negative pattern they're in. So sometimes you need to be Eris for a higher cause, if you will. You're the one who's throwing out the challenging, catalyzing catalyst to try to break up a pattern that isn't serving anymore. So Eris isn't always the bad person. Does that make sense? Okay, so I grant you I'd rather not play the role myself, but there are times that it needs to be played. Okay, and that's probably the main stuff on that eclipse.